Hiya, Wanju, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is a podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Welcome to the fifth episode in our summer series of chats where I catch up with filmmakers and creatives who are behind some of the year's best films and some of the films that are yet to come in 2025. For this final chat in the series, I catch up with prolific Australian director Robert Connolly and celebrated children's author Alison Lester to talk about their new collaboration, Magic Beach. Magic Beach takes Alison Lester's much-loved illustration kids' book and brings it to life with a series of vivid, vibrant, and invigorating animated shorts made by some of Australia's finest visual talents, Lee Whitmore, Anthony Lucas, Marika Walsh, Eddie White, Susan Donta, Jake Duzinski, Simon Ripingau, Pierce Davison, Kathy Sarpi, Emma Kelly, and Susie Chapones. Magic Beach takes us on a journey into the ocean through the mind of kids, and it's through their eyes that we're immersed in the waves and waves of the water, and the many stories the sea has to tell. From tales of sandcastle battles, to pirate smugglers, to a whimsical tale of a bird laying an egg on a boat, there's something for everyone in this brilliantly invented film. In the following interview with Robert and Alison, they talk about that journey into the water together, what it means to be able to tell stories for kids, and the role that the late, great Sarah Watt had in bringing this story to life. Magic Beach screens as part of Perth Festival on January 7th and 13th at Luna Essex in Fremantle, followed by a special meet and greet screenings on the 11th of January at the Hayden Orpheum Picture Palace and Ritz Cinema in New South Wales, and on the 12th of January at the Classic Elsternwick and Sunny Yarraville in Victoria. Magic Beach then opens wide around Australia on the 16th of January. Visit madman.com.au for more screening details. Additionally, if you want to find out more about what we do on The Curb, then please head over to thecurb.com.au. We will have a whole new look tomorrow, 1st of January 2025, and a brand new logo as well. We are a completely independent website, and that means that we're also ad-free, and we live on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. If you can and want to support us, please visit patreon.com/thecurbau to help keep us active from as little as $1 a month. Right, here is the trailer for Magic Beach, followed by my interview with Robert Connolly and Alison Lester.
At our beach, at our Magic Beach, we swim in the sparkling sea. Surfing and splashing and jumping the waves. Shaking and laughing with glee.
It was then that something unusual began to occur.
Can you help me, lad?
I'm in Perth.
That's right. That's right, in Perth, yeah. That's
yeah. Right. All the way in little Western Australia.
we're actually having a run. It's Magic Beach is in the Perth Festival.
I know. Yeah.
It's like they're doing a within, so it's being released across all of Western Australia and Australia on the 16th, but they're doing a week's run at the Perth Festival,
which is
a great tradition because I played Blueback there last time. It's a great festival, isn't it, Andrew?
Oh, it really is, yeah. And, yeah. I mean, it's been a huge support of your work.
Oh, you know, amazing.
Which has been good.
Yeah. I was so happy when I saw that in Frio, I think, at the cinema there. And it's actually really nice to have the work play with
it.
Festival. I think it's the 7th of, but you know, WA, obviously, because I did Blueback and Paper Planes over there. And this is like, I always think, Andrew, Paper Planes was for preschool, for primary school, Blueback was for high school, Magic Beach is now for preschool. but I have such a great history over there in WA. So, and I'm sure we'll be talking next year about The Surfer, which
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's like your connection here with the state is huge, but it's I guess, I mean, probably more on a selfish level, would we have the best beaches?
Well, I don't know about that.
I
You
know
can
we
cut a
started
lot
off
out.
on a nice note, and here I am throwing
But
punches
I
already.
tell you, the beach we filmed Magic Beach on, which is the beach that the book it was written on, is it's pretty incredible. It's pretty
No,
incredible.
it is a beautiful beach, but it also, I think the joy of it is that it's got a whole bunch of different layers and levels of environment, right? There's the different shoals and stuff like that. There's the open beach side, and there's these different rock formations that you can go and explore. And that's what I really enjoyed about the film is, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the age of the kids that this is kind of for, but like all of your family focused films, Rob, they are very much, you know, for
For
anybody of
everyone.
any age.
Yeah.
But it's the encouragement of creativity, right? And the beach is almost this wonderful landscape of this rare landscape as well, that this marrying of you can go out to nature and be creative and explore and learn. And you feel that in your work so keenly, Alison. Like it's this curiosity and this desire to make something out of sand or to see what's going on in this rock fall. And I can see you've got a fish tank there as well. So this joy of life
There you
of getting
go.
to see
It's
everything.
it's actually between the kitchen and the laundry. It used to be a doorway, so you can see the dryer through
Oh, nice.
it. Yeah.
But I guess I want to ask you both about what it is to be able to, you know, encourage that kind of creativity for kids nowadays through a film like this and through a book like Magic Beach as well.
Well, when you're talking about the beach like that, I was thinking like, unless I just go to the beach and I just want to lie down and read a book for a while, you immediately start to create something, don't you? You're either picking up shells to put in some form or building a mermaid or making a castle or digging a hole. And when you're with little kids, that stuff just is being generated by them all the time. They're so inherently curious and playful about the world. And the nat being out in the natural world is just such a bonus for little kids anyway. But the beach is just that extra level, isn't it? Where there's just like everything going on. There's sunshine and water and sand. It's like all the materials you could possibly need.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Alison and I have talked a lot about the power of her books allowing children to create narrative that doesn't do everything for you. You know, and children love to work it all out. You know, you see two kids on the beach, and I love what you were saying, Alison, that idea. You love overhearing kids and how they play on the beach, you know, and hearing this kid with some, when we were filming with some seaweed they'd picked up and they were pretending it was a seaweed monster. And, you know, of course, one of the animations has that, and that things can create narrative as opposed to us having to create all the narrative for children. Like, it's not us telling stories at children, it's children being given the tools to create their own stories. So the challenge for me was, how do I make a film that does that?
Yeah, it's a beautiful gift as well because, I mean, I know you talked about Paper Planes being a reaction to the very American-driven kids' films out there, and needing to have an Australiana sense to it to be able to hear an Australian accent, to see an Australian vista, and there almost feels like this real drive, and the blueyization, I guess, is possibly part of it, but this drive to celebrate and champion Australiana through kids' stories. Is that something that is still a prime focus for you, Rob, when you're making these kinds of films, and for yourself as well, Alison? Does that lead into how you write your books?
I really bounce off what's around me. Like I know lots of people who write picture books and they set them in New York and places like that. And I was like, oh, I would never do that. Like for me, it has to be much realer, much more connected to me. So yeah, I'm very much reflecting what's around me, and I've been lucky that I've got a stack of grandkids now, so I'm very, very exposed to what little kids are doing all the time again. It was nice when my kids got older, I started writing kids' novels for a while, but now I've gone back to picture books because I'm surrounded by that fabulous, crazy, playful, tantruming, insane time. We couldn't believe our luck that the kids would turn up every day and we'd all meet at Alison's house, and Alison would be there, which is the house in the book, and that's where the kids would have their costumes put on. And
Sometimes I'll be in my pajamas still.
yeah, Alison would come out, "Hi, kids," and that's the Alison Lester that wrote the book of the film that we're making in the house in the book. And then we'd all walk down the hill to the beach with the kids, and then we'd improvise and play. And so I think that idea of making think stories about the world you know, and the universality. It's funny, I've always felt that you make things culturally specific and they're more universal. Try and make things universal, they become fake and artificial. It's the same way you can watch a film from another country, you can watch a beautiful work of Indian cinema, and somehow it can speak to you. And its cultural specificity is really healthy part of it. So that's why I've never shied away from making Australian films. Like The Dry, it's a film that's traveled all over the world, but it's a hyper Australian story. Blueback, which I made over your way, and these films travel. So Magic Beach, I've never really, it's never really been an issue. I've never really thought to compromise that. But the only thing you rightly point out is, I'm excited. In January, the Australian kids' film that's in cinemas is Magic Beach. There's going to be a whole heap of other children's films that families can take their kids to see. But we're it. We're the Australian film. And I'd be really sad if there wasn't some way that people could see their own story. I can't remember if I told you back in the day, but my wife, when she cast Paper Planes, the kids would come in and audition in an American accent.
Oh, no.
Because they thought the only way to be on in a film was with an American accent. I'd like to think that's changed, because we've had, since Paper Planes, a lot of kids' films. Like Runt this year was a big success. And anyway.
I would like to think so too. I want to kind of go back as well, and I want to talk about one of the screen legends who I think was kind of the introduction for you, Rob, to this book, which is Sarah Watt, who, I watch this and lose myself in this particular film, and I can't help but feel her influence as well in the style of animation as well. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'm curious if you can talk about Sarah's influence on you, Rob, and introducing you to Magic Beach to begin with.
Well, I'd helped on the distribution side of Look Both Ways and My Year Without Sex, and I got to know Sarah, and we were just chatting, and we were saying, could we do a film for kids that was a hybrid? And literally Sarah went and brought back Magic Beach and said, "Do you know this?" And I go, "Do I know this? I've got half a dozen." I've never told you this story, Alison, but when my kids were little, we went to the local secondhand shop and we bought a whole, there were so many of your books, and we bought like five of them or whatever. And we bought, and my kids are like, "Oh my God." And then we opened up and they were all signed by you. This is long before I met you. And it was like, and my kids are like, "Oh my God, they're signed by the author." And then Sarah, of course, introduced me to Alison, and who maybe I can throw to you, Alison, but very, very close friends and collaborators, and you'd
Well,
already been thinking about it.
Sarah and I met because of Magic Beach. That because her husband William rang me one day with his very deep voice and said, "Hello, is this Alison Lester?" And I thought it was my husband. He said, "It's William McGuinness." And I said, "A good one, Eddie," because I thought it was my husband playing a trick on me, but it really was William. And he was ringing on behalf of Sarah, who was interested in turning Magic Beach into a movie. So we met up and got on like a house on fire. And I guess we probably worked on it, different ideas of the movie for 5 or 6 years. But had some really lovely times together. She was such a beautiful person. And she, of course, was a bit like Robert. She was always doing other, all I was too. Like we're all doing other projects at the same time. So Magic Beach always got, "Well, we'll get to it one day, we'll get to it one day." And we
Well,
did.
and yeah, and her spirit, you can feel it in the film. Like there is,
No doubt. Yeah.
it's
The
really
film's
beautiful.
dedicated to her, and Emma Kelly, who does the first animation, has worked with Sarah, and yeah, it's in the DNA of the film. Yeah.
So I want to talk about then the animators, because that is such a huge aspect of it. When you throw out a call out for a film like this, how do you decide on who's the right person to translate your work and bring it to life?
It's interesting. I've got amazing producing partners, Liz Carney, who produced Memoir of a Snail, with our company, which just got a Golden Globe nomination yesterday, which is pretty exciting. And her partner Pierce, who did the Sandcastle War animation, and he was one of the lead animators on Memoir. Emma, of course, had worked with Sarah. We really needed to make sure we spoke of the First Nations experience of the beach, and Jake's work was exceptional. And I don't know, we kind of it, I'd love to think it was strategic, but we watched a lot of animations, and we just had this sense of wanting incredible diversity. Kathy Sarpe was in her early 20s, and Lee Whitmore's in her 70s. I felt like here's these two animators that are different. Lee taught me at film school. She taught me how to use a 35 mil Oxbury camera at film school, and here she is doing an animation, and hers is the Bigsy the dog, a beautiful painting on glass. I don't know, it was a delightful experience to pick the animators, that is for sure. And they came first. The animations were made first, not the live action. So, and so we took our leadership, they took the leadership really in creating a really bold, ambitious, creative space, and playful. They were all playful. And Anthony Lucas been nominated for an Academy Award, and his, Smuggler, I mean, it's just epic what he managed to do. And there is a cave down there, and there is a legend that in that cave there is a box of treasure. So, which, how many kids, Alison, have gone in there digging around trying to
lot
find?
of kids, and been trapped by
Yeah.
the
tide.
But I love the energy that it has. Like it flows in and out and all this kind of stuff. And we could talk about the I know you did test screenings and things like that to make sure you got the right flow. But before we do kind of talk about that, I want to talk about one specific short, which is the Beach War one, where there's robots and all this kind of stuff. And the reason why I want to raise that is that I love the ingenuity of it, but I also really love the way that most of the other stories have people willingly jumping into the ocean, but this one has apprehension and it has fear, a little bit of fear for the ocean. And I'm curious if you can talk about the importance of being able to show those emotions in relation to the ocean, because I imagine for kids in the audience, they might go, I don't like the ocean, I don't want to swim in it. And getting to see that feels like they're represented in some way. So can you talk about, presenting that particular short in the film?
That's a great question, Alison, isn't it? I haven't made it kind of because I think Pierce said that he saw in the picture with the sandcastle, the little kids around the sandcastle, and that's what inspired him. And maybe he brought a bit of a personal relationship with the water. I don't think we consciously wanted to do that, but I do love that you've picked that up, because I love Eddie White's animation too, which is about missing the water. What would happen if you can't go to the beach? And that we all have different relationships. But I know it was a real rite of passage with my daughter Kitty when she was very little, going to down there, and the courage to get in the water and be there, and the courage the first time to dive under a wave. And the magic of going, it's okay, you can do it. Because once you do that, you've mastered it. If you can look at an approaching wave and dive under it and come up, and that's that look in this little girl's face after she'd done it for the first time, of like the thrill of it. And but she had apprehension too. Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, it's a great thing, because there are so many little kids who are really scared of going into the water. So yeah, and I also have to say I love it when people like you, Andrew, find things in books and movies that we didn't actually mean.
Yeah, I
And
do.
then,
It's really nice observation, because you can't talk about the universality of the beach without having some sense that it's a threshold that young children cross. We have an incredible, like Australia, the Surf Life Saving. We're doing a series around the country of screenings for the surf life saving community, like fundraisers and various things, just to kind of say thank you to them. Because every summer, like this film, that's happy for this film to play in January in cinemas, but there are volunteers right around Australia who volunteer. I mean, it's incredible when you think of it. This national network of organizations where people volunteer to make it safe to swim on the beach. I just don't. It'd be the only thing I could compare it to would be the volunteer bushfire brigades. You know, there's this idea that we live in this country, we love swimming on our beaches. It's something we do, and we need to make it safe. So we've found this volunteer community, and then within those communities, young children learn to swim for the first time. And anyway.
And when you go to nippers, do they have nippers in WA?
We have a version of it.
Yeah.
I don't have kids myself, but I know that we've got like swim safe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing. It's just all those people organizing this great day. It goes over maybe 10 days in summer where kids just learn from when they're really little, do all sorts of activities and learn how to be safe in the surf. Yeah.
Fantastic part
Oh,
of,
it's
yeah.
yeah, it's beautiful. And I mean, that's the thing. It's like we see so many films about surfing and stuff. And so, and that's really, I enjoy that. That's good. But it's nice to see a film that is for kids about something that is so family focused and community focused. It's just wonderful to experience it. But then, Rob, as well, like as you mentioned, Blueback, right? This is almost discounting the drive two in between, but like you've effectively done two films almost in a row that are about life in the water, life underneath the water. And I'm curious for you what it means to be able to remind people that there is a world there. It deserves respect and it reserves like some kind of adoration or, you know, awe.
Yeah.
Is that
Maybe,
something that drives you for both those films?
yeah, maybe I think there are probably no more important stories for us to be exploring at the moment than ones that deal with the natural world and the threat to it. You know, this precarious relationship we have with the natural world. And I think, you know, the stories and, you know, the way it's so funny because I was just showing this before, but I just picked up Tim's latest book, you know, which is, you know, to read, which is an adult climate change claims, you know, climate change story. And so this idea of how do you talk about the natural world? And I believe Jacques Cousteau's quote early in his career when he finally turned away from spearfishing to doing the amazing work he did was that if you can make people love something, they'll care for it. So in some ways, I feel like I hope that these films, like Magic Beach, is a celebration of the beach and the imagination of that place. And so when we talk about the environment and how important it is, I hope that then it's not an overtly political message, but it does make us love something that we care for. I love, what's that thing people do now? My daughter's talked about it. When you go to the beach, everyone has to take three bits of rubbish off or something. There's the
I always pick up rubbish on the beach here.
Yeah.
It's
And then
like,
what wouldn't you now? Like, if everyone did, then, and that's why, you know, at the end of the day, down on Bondi Beach, you know, where I used to live, at the end of the day, you look at it and you go, it's actually clean. Like, people left, they took everything away. They didn't just, and I think maybe I'm rambling a bit, Andrew, but that's
No,
enough
no.
to say that I'm trying to make us a type of cinema that makes us love our natural world. Because we have to protect it. We have to care about it more than ever.
And I wonder as well, like as we're leading to wrapping up, I think that one of the things is as we get older, we tend to forget sometimes the affection that we had for stories that we grew up reading. And I hope, certainly for you, Alison, as well, that for older audiences who maybe take along their kids or nephews or nieces or whatever to go and see this film, they are reconnected with that love that they had as a kid, and that awe and that, you know, the joy that they had for that they got from reading Magic Beach as a kid. Is that something that you hope for as well?
I think so. I think really, like every time you read to a child, you and the child, it kind of goes into some kind of bank, I think, where it's just it adds to the feeling of being connected and being loved and sharing a story and imagination. And it kind of rekindles that this is the book that I had so many nice times with, you know.
And I
And
think
that never goes away as well. Sorry, Rob. Yeah, it never goes away.
no,
Yeah.
no. Just jumping to an extension of that, going to the cinema. You know, I saw Fantasia when I was five. I'm 56, and I've never seen it again at the Glenbrook Cinema. And I went with my mum and watched that film. And I think going to the cinema is also another threshold and a bonding experience. We love the collective
Yeah.
experience. I mean, there's going to be a whole heap of opportunities for families to go to the movies over summer, and that ritual has a value too.
Yeah.
Reading a book with your child, taking them to the movies, going to the beach, and I love it because it's the antithesis of this idea of giving a kid an iPad just to go and play with in the corner. I'm
Yeah.
not anti-technology, but I do think that we're reaching for these shared experiences. Part of our campaign on Magic Beach is make Magic Beach your child's first experience at the cinema. So
Well, that's
it's,
beautiful.
yeah.
It's a gift, and I mean, storytelling is a gift. Like, it sounds so sappy to say that, but it's true. It's
Yeah.
why you do what you do. It's why I do what I do. I get to talk to great people like yourselves and say, "Go and watch this movie." But it is a gift to be able to be connected, and it's a delight. So thank you, Rob. Thank you, Alison, for your time. It's always a delight to talk with you, Rob. It's a delight to talk with you as well, Alison. Thank you so much, and for the film as well.
Nice
Thank
to
you.
meet you,
Thanks
Andrew.
so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this interview with Robert Connolly and Alison Lester for their film Magic Beach. It's our last entry in the summer series of chats. I really appreciate you listening along through this series. Please make sure to visit The Curb on 1st of January for a whole new look and a whole new logo. We'll see you then.